coming up next, we've got Conor McGregor news, NHL playoffs, and NBA extraordinaire Steve Smitty Smith. All that and more on the Weekly Pass coming up next.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin. Sit down.
Welcome back to another edition of the Weekly Pass. I missed y'all last week.
I missed you.
We missed you. You guys had a lot of fun, though.
We did. I think we did a good job.
It was fun. But we missed it. Your presence was.
Yeah. And I think the best, I have to say, was your head on my body.
Yes.
That was pretty good.
I did what I could do.
Maxim,
I mean,
here we come. I don't know.
maybe.
I think highlights and.
You like it?
The long hair needed to happen.
I need a wig. I need a wig.
Well, this is our new time during the day. I like it, you know, nice. And it's easier. The reason we changed it, y'all, is because we were having a little trouble, right, with some guests, and it was too late in the East Coast time, so we changed it so we can get more guests and more guests, hopefully, in studio. So that is why the new time change. You can catch me at BJ Laffin on Twitter and at Bonnie Jill on Instagram and Facebook, and my lovely co-hosts. I think everyone knows her fine, y'all, but just in case they forgot.
Hey, what's up? I'm Josh Rodriguez. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Josh_Rodriguez_.
Amazing. I'm Becky Sotero. You can find me on all social media at Becky Sotero. Join us on the live chat. You can also join our panel at BJL Weekly Pass on Twitter. So tweet us all your questions and comments, and we are here with you.
And we're starting to get more engagement on that, right?
Yeah, definitely.
It takes a while.
It does. Yeah. You have to organically let it happen. You can't force it. You can't buy followers.
I know. I don't like that.
Neither do I.
And people do that.
I hate it.
I know.
No. Yeah, they're coming in as a flood.
Yep.
So last week we had Daryl in, and that seemed like it went really well. All hockey. How was that, Josh?
It was fun. I learned a lot. It was nice. You know, Becky was in her element.
It was
30 degrees inside the studio.
And what a classy guy he is. He reached out to me saying that he missed me having me on and meeting me, and just a class act guy.
That's
really
awesome.
Like him. So good job on that, Becky.
He's fabulous. We had a good time, but we missed you so much. He was bummed as you were.
Yeah, you were in San Francisco watching
San
your Giants.
My Giants. Yeah, the opening day that we won't talk about that game, but the next game was it was great. It's tough, you know, we have a lot of injuries and we need runs.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing is, you know, and the Dodgers aren't doing well. So that's the only thing that's good. They got swept by Arizona. Yeah. You know, we split the series. So we split the series twice with them. But
well, Josh was throwing some shade at you and I was trying to correct him.
It's hard. I mean, but the Dodgers are doing better than I expected, but they still are just, you know, great, good pitching, but just horrible. And, you know, so many runners in scoring position and just can't bring in the run.
We're supposed to help with that.
Longoria, I don't want to say too much, but
it's early. It's early.
It is, but I don't know if it's, you know, sometimes you wonder about these guys. You know, he played in Tampa Bay, not a big fan base, not a lot of pressure situations, and now he's in San Francisco.
I get
you know
saying.
What I'm saying. Sometimes some guys can't handle that pressure. So I don't know. He was overdue for that one Jack he had, but now it's like, come on.
This is why we signed you.
Nothing drives me nuts is, you know, striking out looking like, come on. sure. Like, what are we doing? You know, I don't know. That drives me nuts. So anyways,
did you get to interview some people and learn
I did some stuff, you know, on the radio station out there, KMBR, and then afterwards was able just to catch up with everyone. I saw Barry Bonds that I haven't seen
so
long.
Oh, cool.
And I've, God, I haven't seen him for years. So we were able to catch up, and he's so different now, you know.
In what way?
Everything, the way he even looks, you know, everyone's like, his head's smaller. Well, yeah, literally, like his head is smaller.
Is he that small?
Yeah, then you know, to
it is what it is.
Yeah, but he's just a different guy, you know. Yeah. I think again, he was dealing with a lot of pressure, and you know what he was doing. You know, I think you know, kind of got to him, and he wasn't the nicest individual to be around. And I think now, you know, some people like kind of reflect and they see that, wow, maybe I should have been a nicer person. And you know, regardless of what people think of him, you know, he deserves his, you know, his place in Cooperstown. So
I agree. I mean, regardless of what he did, even if he didn't do the PEDs, he was still on track to be one of the best players ever.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, there's...
Okay, me and you take PEDs. We're not going to be able to hit a foul tip.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So...
yeah, exactly.
I mean, you got to know. And there was kind of an even level playing field. Pitchers were juicing.
Yep.
I'm not going to say anything more, but just at that time...
No, I get what you're saying.
You know, he's still a phenomenal athlete. And I do still think there's some guys that deserve to be in Cooperstown.
Sure.
I agree. Anything else exciting?
And I went to a couple Laker games recently. I know the Lake Show are not, you know, playoff bound again this year. Same with the Clippers, no LA teams. But, you know, it's nice to see this young team really starting to come together and gel. And, you know, Kuzma, I mean, God, that guy's.
Yeah. And honestly, if you're good. A Laker fan, I think you have to be proud of the way they performed this year.
And Harden, all these guys are just coming off the bench. They're doing
Julius
well.
Julius Randle ended the season fire. I think Lonzo, his rookie year, has its ups and downs. But I think they found a point guard in the future. I think they're going to attract some free agents. You don't know if Paul George is coming. Right. LeBron, who knows? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, they do have a nice young core.
They do.
And I think they showed that tremendously this year.
And I talked to a lot of Laker executives, and they did say that they are going to push for LeBron.
Yeah.
And if LeBron comes, Paul George comes, and, you know, then you start to, you know, the floodgates kind of open.
They were having a pretty good season towards the end there. I mean, they were coming together a little bit. So,
no,
too bad their season
no,
was a
they
longer.
Really are. And, and it's nice to see that because, you know, rather, again, like, Laker fans are going nuts, but it's a rebuilding time.
So the executives that you talk to, I don't know if you can say them by name, but they just flat out said, yeah, we're going after
them. We're going after them.
Wow. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. They said you cannot. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? You have to go after them.
There were some
rumors
that they would wait.
Yeah, and a lot of time what they're saying is they may say they're going to wait if they didn't get him. Right. Sure. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It makes a lot of sense.
So, I mean, you know, you got to go after LeBron.
I agree.
I mean, can you imagine LeBron in L.A.?
It would completely change the dynamic. A landscape would be completely changed.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm not a LeBron fan, but keeping on the note of LeBron, I think Marissa probably has
Oh yes.
Okay.
Goodness.
Let me start here. Okay. I know you're a LeBron fan.
I am a LeBron fan.
I know that he's been going back and forth in his canter. You know, they had their little spat in November, and you know, he said that you're not the king of New York. Porzingis is our king, and then LeBron continued to say, I'm the king, my wife is the queen, and I don't know, my kids are princess, whatever.
Sure.
My thing with this is great, okay, for some fans. But for me, act like you've been there.
Thank
Josh,
you.
Okay, this is what I would call a little bit petty rookie, very young. You're established. You've done so much. You are the king. You're LeBron James. Do you need to do that?
No. And as much as I like LeBron, he does things like this all the time.
And that's why it bothers
me. Especially in the media. Like, he always has to, like, say, I'm the best, or he gives himself compliments, or he...
Act like you've been there.
Right. I love LeBron's game, but he's a little immature when it comes to that aspect.
Thank you.
And, I don't appreciate this as a Knicks fan, LeBron, if you're listening.
And you saw the picture on Instagram that he had in November, where he's like standing
as the king.
On your logo, the Knicks logo, saying, I'm the king of New York.
Yeah, not cool.
I just think that's why people don't like LeBron.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He does it on purpose to be like a villain or whatever, I just think that you don't have to do that. We all know that if you are the best, you know, do you think MJ walks around being like, I'm the GOAT, I'm the GOAT everywhere?
In a different way.
In a different way. He's got the swag where he doesn't have to say it without, you know, I don't know.
No,
There's a difference.
I feel like his swag is coming out as arrogance. I don't feel like it's anything abnormal. It's sad, but it's just him.
Yeah.
It's just LeBron.
There's cockiness to what MJ is about when he speaks. But he doesn't have to, like, write shoes that say, I'm the king. There we go.
Oh, God. Yeah.
And I know you love LeBron, but I know that bugs you.
That hurts me as a Knicks fan.
But isn't that just him getting under the skin of, you know,
I think
the players,
so, too.
The
My
team?
Look, LeBron, if you're going to call yourself the king of New York, come to New York. Be a New York Knick. Then you can call yourself the king of New York. Until then, Porzingis is the king of New York. He's the guy we're building around. Mm-hmm. He's the franchise player. So, sorry, you are not the king of New York.
No, and the chat agrees. Yeah.
What does the chat think of LeBron?
They think that's whack. That you should be proving it on the court. We couldn't agree more.
Yeah. But no, listen, my thing with LeBron, though, he is very petty. He does immature things like that, but it could be a lot worse. I mean, he's not out there committing any crimes. I think he's a good role model to children. Overall, I think he's a very positive face for the league. So, yeah, he does things like that, and I just kind of brush it off.
Yeah. There's just something about it that he just rubs me the wrong way constantly.
Sure.
I just can't.
It's just always in your face. Always.
Well, he's
it's
the just... first superstar when, like, during the social media era where you can put things on Instagram and put things on Twitter and self-promote yourself. You know, Kobe wasn't like that. He didn't have that.
No.
Jordan didn't have that. Who knows what these guys would have been like during... You know,
true.
You know what I'm saying? You never really know.
Platform.
He's the first superstar we've had that's able to promote himself on social media.
But what about Steph Curry? I mean, Steph Curry's just as good. He doesn't do this stuff.
Steph is super humble, yeah, though.
That's what I'm
he's
saying.
He's just a different type of guy, though. And he's very religious, and he's very, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing.
I'm not saying LeBron's not. I don't even know
but
what he is.
But is Steph humble when he shoots a three, and then he turns and runs up the court without even looking?
I know.
You know what I mean?
Puts
then
his
he does,
tongue out and all his stuff.
He's
yeah, I know. He does all that.
So, I mean, yeah.
But he's letting it speak on the court. There's
yes,
a big difference.
Right. Yes.
So.
Yeah. I mean, I just think
there's just an arrogance that I think all players, athletes have. And you should have that. I'm not saying you shouldn't.
Right.
His just exudes a little past what I like.
Fair enough.
That's just me.
It doesn't bother me that much, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. Agree to disagree. What else do we have? Let's go to you, Becky. What other news do we have in
lots of
in
news, you guys?
Depressing as well.
Well,
huh?
We're going to start with the not so happy news, which is the Humboldt hockey team.
Oh yeah.
The tragedy. So Friday night they were actually going to a playoff game. And a tractor trailer had crashed into their bus and killed 14. So it included broadcasters,
10
coaches,
players, right?
Players, yes. Yeah. And I'm sure everybody's seen it on social media, but their GoFundMe page has made $6.4 million.
Yeah, I saw that.
I'm getting chills. $6.4 million in just a few days.
Wow.
And I saw that a lot of NHL players and just players in general who play the game have been putting their hockey sticks out on their porch and putting it everywhere. And there's people from the baseball community said, we don't have hockey sticks, but we're putting our baseball.
Oh yeah. I mean, there's been teams tonight on the ice.
It's amazing.
It's the community has just come behind them. But that was a huge, huge tragic.
Yeah. And I don't know his name, Beck, you may know, but one kid, he just came out of surgery and he will never walk again. He'll be paralyzed. Mm-hmm. But he says he's just grateful that he is alive. And he told his mom, he joked and made it and said, well, I won't be on the U.S. Olympic hockey team, the Canadian hockey team, but maybe now I can go for the bobsled team.
Wow. Well, how do you keep that positive attitude? I don't know what I'd be like.
It was so bad that they actually misidentified two of the players. So one of the families thought that their son had survived. The other family thought that their son had died. So
I didn't know that.
But the amazing thing is the parents are commenting and the community and the families are just united. You know what I mean? And I'm sure everybody's seen the picture of the three players in the hospital all holding hands.
Yes, I posted that. It's tragic. So, and this right here, I saw that yesterday.
Yes, nice exactly.
Wow. It's amazing.
Pretty powerful. So on behalf of the Bonnie Jo Laughlin Show, our hearts and prayers are with you guys on
especially
that.
Especially the family still dealing with so much. It's horrible. And it was really sad. They looked at the site of where the crash was. Mm. And guess what they found? A cracked slapstick DVD. So one of them was watching that when that happened.
Oh, sure. Sure.
And they put the hockey sticks cross right there on the at the site.
Yeah, I think we're bringing up a picture as well of the team there. So again, just so sad. But go to the GoFundMe page.
Go to the GoFundMe page. Every dollar counts, and I think it's something that we all need to do. Yeah, oof. It's heartbreaking
just over half of those people have passed. So it's just so tragic. But in happier news, the Stanley Cup playoffs are kicking off and launching tomorrow. The Kings and the Knights are head to head, and this is going to be huge.
All right, so who do you have? Who do you have?
Huge. Who do I have? Yeah.
Objectively.
No. Oh yeah, take out I had to do when I was talking about what I joined.
Objectively.
Well, like I said last week, I will stick to the fact that I think the Lightning are going to take the East. And
okay.
I think that the Golden Knights are going to go far. I think they'll go to the Western Conference Final.
So they have to beat the
Kings. I think it's going to be Predators and Knights. I think it'll be Golden Knights in seven. Round one.
Okay. I respect that because you are.
So you think they will go to the Stanley Cup?
The Golden Knights, I think, will go to the Western Conference final against the Preds.
And then the Preds will win?
I think the Preds will win, yeah. The Preds are just dominating the West beyond belief in Tampa Bay. But the East is going to be such a throw up. I mean, we just don't know.
But what a story, though. For the Golden Knights, even to get to that
first
point.
Inaugural team to ever make the stand. But I mean, the playoffs are such a different beast when you come down to looking over footage.
Yeah,
the Kings don't really have that. It's going to be interesting. They can't look over how they played in the playoffs, but the Golden Knights can track back on how the Kings have done. Also, Marc-Andre Fleury was the goaltender for Stanley Cup champion Penguins. He knows how to play. So it's going to be
interesting. What I love, though, is all California teams are in.
Yeah, they are.
Are they?
So the Sharks, Ducks, and there was a chance where they're all kind of battling it out.
So here's the sticky thing: Sharks and Ducks first round.
Oh, wow.
One of those teams is going to get blown out.
Right.
Vegas and Kings are...
Go Sharks.
The new rivalry. Yeah, I know you want your Sharks, but Vegas and Kings... Kings, Daryl talked about this. The Kings really helped the Vegas Golden Knights begin their journey, if you will, in the NHL. So that's going to be a really intense matchup. So we'll see who wins. I think it's going to be Vegas in seven.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, what else happened? We've got golf, the Masters. You guys follow the Masters?
I did.
Here and there.
You know, it was funny though.
What do you think?
I was watching, and then it kind of got a little boring.
Yeah. So, well, but Jordan Spieth.
Well, I think what it is that, you know, Patrick Reed, who won, is not that, I'm not say flashy because nothing in golf is flashy, but, you know, kind of the, not the fan favorite.
No,
you
won, but it's his first title. First title, though. It's a big one.
No, I know, but do you see how subdued it was when he got the green jacket? Everyone was like, like, no one even cared.
I feel like that's just the golf world. Nobody cares about the underdog.
If it was Tiger.
That's what I'm saying.
I think everybody was pulling for Tiger to come back. Yeah. First time in 3 years since he's been back. Yes, of course. I feel you.
Yeah. And then if it was, you know, Jordan Spieth or Ricky Fowler or any of those guys, I think it would have been a little more excitement. I think it was a little anticlimactic.
But we can talk about Jordan because he was behind.
Right.
Nine holes, came back, one of the best comebacks in Masters. So, I mean, that's kind of exciting.
No, it was, You know. And then Tiger is taking a couple weeks off. He said, he said normally when he was, you know, at his top, he would do that after the Master. Because he said such a, you know, just such a mentally, physically draining type tournament so that he normally would take, you know, a couple of weeks off and he's going to do the same.
Are you a big golf fan?
I used to be when Tiger was
Okay.
Well, it was exciting. He made the game so.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but I think Tiger's good for golf.
Yeah.
Don't you agree?
I totally
for the mainstream
agree.
Market.
Yeah. I mean, I'm in a group text with me and my friends. We talk about sports all the time. And the only time golf comes up is when Tiger's name comes up.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And so, let's see. Tiger finished one over, 32nd at Augusta. Mm-hmm.
Eh.
I know. Yeah. I think it's a slow. I don't know if we're never going to see Tiger.
You don't think it's Tiger? Yeah. I think he'll never be the same. Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
But, you know, it's still good to see him there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And competing.
Competing and just there, you know.
For sure.
It's not the same, though.
No,
it's not the same.
No, I mean, but I think that in general, whenever there's something that happens for, you know, the first time and Jordan's comeback was exciting. So that was kind of the story. It's sad because it overshadowed Reed's win. Sadly.
Exactly.
So
one thing that was nice, there was I don't know if you guys saw this, but there was a daughter that put out on social media, my father has stage 4 cancer. You know, he's not doing well. His kind of last wish is to meet Tiger Woods. They pushed it out everywhere. Golf Channel made it happen. And so he got to shake hands with Tiger.
Yeah.
And I thought... Yeah. I mean, but that still shows Tiger still is, you know, so,
look at that.
I didn't know. That's, we've never heard that.
That's how you know we
have a guest.
On the line.
I kind of love that.
Smitty?
Hello. Hey. Is this fine?
Wow, Smitty, did you just get up from a nap?
No. Oh.
You sound kind of tired.
How you gonna plug it? I just got up from a nap.
I don't know. It sounded like you're just, or like a massage. People have had massages done on the show.
We had that happen.
We saw that happen.
So I thought you just sound very relaxed.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, good. That's my relaxed voice. How you guys doing?
Thanks for joining us.
Who am I with?
Well, me, of course, your longtime friend. And then we've got Josh Rodriguez.
Hey,
and then,
Steve.
Becky is here as well today.
Or meet you.
How you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Smitty, we're going to get right into this. I know you covered a lot of the NCAA tournament. Is there any players that you see that would go in the draft that could make an immediate impact in the NBA for next season?
Yeah, I think there's a few. I think DeAndre Ayton, a kid from Arizona, I've been knowing him for a while and just watched the way he's developed as a player. But also look at him physically. I think he's definitely ready that can make an impact. I know the center position is something that people have been saying, you know, is going away. But he's an inside-out type of player, a physical specimen. I think also the kid Bagley from Duke has to work on his body a little bit, but I think his skill set. The kid Michael Porter, I thought before his injury from Missouri, I'm not sure right now, but I think going into his college, I thought so for sure. Miles Bridges from my alma mater, Michigan State. I think he's definitely ready to make an impact. And there's a few more. I think Jaren Jackson from Michigan State because of his shot blocking ability. So you have some kids ready now that can come in and make an impact. Now, will they be all-stars? I don't think so. I think DeAndre Ayton is the one that has a chance to maybe be an all-star, depending on where he goes.
Right. Now, Smitty, we saw my old boss, Mitch Kupchak, got the job in Charlotte. What are your thoughts on that, on Mitch getting that?
I think that's a Carolina inside job.
Oh, God. MJ all the way, Smitty, right?
I think, you know, Mitch has been one of the top, I guess, say, slash basketball minds. President, GMs have been around, and it's great for Mitch. And obviously, a lot of pressure being in Los Angeles, and you guys know this, of winning because of the winning tradition. I think now this is a job. Now Mitch gets to go back, go down with Michael, and get a chance to rebuild. And I think this is a big hire for Michael Jordan, because I think Mitch right now has a lot of pressure on him to rebuild his franchise. They really haven't got over the hump. They always, if they make the playoffs, it's barely. Mm-hmm. And then for the last few years, they haven't. So I think Mitch has his job, his work cut out, but I think also it's a great situation for him. There won't be any pressure on him for at least 2 or 3 years.
But do you think Mitch is the guy to do this, though? I mean, this is a younger generation. When he was, you know, GM, things have kind of changed, even just the way they're scouting and everything. Do you think he's the guy that can really rebuild this team, though, Smitty?
You know what? Great question. I think if you want to be stubborn as us older guys around in any industry, then you definitely will have, I would say, some bumps in the road. But I think it comes down, I really want to look at who Mitch hires around him and how much input Michael would have with Mitch, and how will this, I would say, selection and direction of the Charlotte Hornets, is it all Mitch, or is it Mitch going to have some input from Michael and maybe some others?
Right. Keeping with the NBA, Sixers, Philadelphia Sixers, are they the real deal, or what's my name? I mean, I see them, they could actually get in the Eastern Conference Finals, or this is a team I think eventually will be in the finals, me and Josh agree.
Yeah, you know what? I love this team. The reason why they're fun, and obviously the process, people say trust the process. It's been a long time we've been trusting this process, and they could finish as high as 3 as a 3 seed.
Right.
And I think this season, as we speak now, yes, they can make the Eastern Conference Finals. The reason why, I don't think there's a clear-cut favorite in the East. You know, people are putting an asterisk and saying Cleveland because they have probably arguably the best player in the game, and it's the Eastern Conference. I think if the Boston Celtics were healthy, it'd be tough to Philly have to go through either Toronto, Boston, or Cleveland to make it to the Eastern Conference. But I think Boston is, you know, they're banged up. I think they're tough out, even without Kyrie, without Gordon Hayward. But I don't see them going there. I think if it's Philly, they'll have to go through Toronto or go through Cleveland. And they could, depending on what goes on. They obviously with Joel Embiid, because if he's healthy, and obviously he'd be coming off that fractured orbital. They have a chance because they have some veterans around them, and I love the pickup of, you know, Ilyasova and also Bellinelli. Veterans to go along with that young group. And Ben Simmons is a tough out. Who do you put on him? There's no one his height that will be able to guard him other than LeBron. And then I think because he's so unselfish, it's not about him scoring, and that everybody wants to play with a guy like that. So I think they could because of the injuries to Boston.
But it's crazy to me, though, that even without Joel Embiid, they've actually been playing really well, and they've opened kind of the floor for Ben Simmons.
Yeah, it is. And the reason why is you have Ben Simmons, 6'10". They line him up as a point guard. But do you guard him with a point guard? No, you usually have to have a big guy on him. He rebounds so well. So when he pushes it, usually a guard has to pick him up, and it creates so many mismatches. And guys like Bellinelli and J.J. Redick and Covington and Saric, all those guys are hitting threes, and if they're hitting threes, it gives the lane open up to him. And one thing I love about him, he's a rookie that likes contact, that kind of likes controversy.
He wants to bump him. I love that about him.
He wants to grind, and so he's not afraid to go deep into the paint and try to finish, which is giving teams a lot of problems.
All right, Steve, what's up? It's Josh. I have a question about the Western Conference. Now, aside from the Houston Rockets, who are obviously the top threat to the Warriors, do you see anybody else giving the Warriors a run in these playoffs? I mean, they're a little injured now, so I guess anything's possible, right?
I think great question, Josh, and usually I would say not at all. But I think there's just one team, and obviously because it looks like Steph, according to the Warriors, he will not play in the first round. Steve Kerr was definitely drilling that home to all of us in the media that he won't play. The Utah Jazz will be a tough out if they versus the Golden State Warriors. And I'm not mistaken. I think they have the head-to-head matchup they've won. And obviously we know playoffs is different. The reason why is they defend. They're big. They're long. And they have guys that want to go out and compete. And you have Rudy Gobert. Whenever you have a seven-footer down there, that can just cause problems. And obviously the Golden State will go small ball. But along with their playing size versus size, the Utah Jazz, without Steph, I think the Golden State Warriors, that's a matchup problem for them.
So, Smitty, your dark horse, you're saying it would be Utah Jazz, or is there any other team that could give Golden State Warriors problems in the West?
You know, I keep rooting for this OKC Thunder team. I'm going, I love Russell Westbrook. I'm a Paul George fan. They had Carmelo. They have great young players. Steven Adams, who plays extremely well, you know, it's kind of their fourth option. And then I keep looking up. They get hot and then they get cold. I want to say OKC, but I just don't trust them. I love everything about them until you got to say head-to-head, do you really have OKC beaten Golden State or Houston? Maybe if OKC get them in the first round, but other than that, I don't think so.
So Houston won't give them problems in the Western Conference Finals, if that's the matchup.
I think Houston and Golden State, and obviously if Steph can come back, and obviously, you know, we don't have a crystal ball. How he comes back will be huge, but if he's 80% Steph, you know, go along with all those other guys they have. And people talk about the, you know, the Draymonds and Durants and Clay and Steph. But really, it's those other guys. Quinn Cook has played extremely well. Jordan Bell. And then they have Zaza, David West, Iguodala. I mean, Sean Livingston. The list goes
those
on.
Bench guys.
One or two of those guys always will have a game that kind of gets the Golden State Warriors over the top.
But don't you agree, Smitty, it's going to be slightly different than last year. It's going to be a little tougher road for the Warriors than it has been.
No, you're totally right. I mean, these Warriors will start to see some game sixes and some game sevens, I think, in this Western Conference versus sweep, 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 and maybe just one loss like they've usually had, one or two losses head into the finals. I think there's going to be some game six and some game sevens for the Warriors.
All right, Steve. Now, the Raptors switched up their style of play this year. They're pushing the ball. They're shooting a lot of threes. But the stigma on them is still that they can't win that big series. Are you on that bandwagon, or do you have a belief in the Raptors that they could actually win the East this year?
You know, I think the Raptors can. You know, they're that team, too, as well, that you keep rooting for. I think Kyle Lowry and DeRozan just haven't played well together. Mm-hmm. They've had some individual games in the playoffs. But what I love what Dwayne Casey has done throughout this entire year, they got off, I wouldn't say a slow start, but they were kind of in fifth, sixth, where he was trusting their bench. And I think he understands that to go far in this East or go far in the playoffs with this team currently constructed, he needs 8 to 9 guys. And he's done that. Jakob Poeltl, Pascal Siakam, I love the kid, Fred VanVleet. They have played extremely well coming off that bench. OG Anunoby, who started coming off the bench, he has some young guys that are playing the right way. And I think by moving Kyle Lowry off the basketball, it's helped him as a team and has also helped Kyle as far as the wear and tear. He's always kind of burned out during the playoffs.
Now, Smitty, with the devastation of Boston losing Kyrie, are people kind of sleeping on Boston now thinking, okay, they don't have a chance, or do they still have a chance to be competitive in the playoffs?
Brad Stevens and you guys.
I love Brad Stevens. I love that coach, yeah.
And you look at, he's played without Marcus Smart and obviously Gordon Hayward after the first game. The Morris twin has been out. Jaylen Brown has been out with a concussion. Look at Kyrie's out for obviously the rest of the regular season for some time and the playoffs. Al Horford's been in and out. And then there's some guys that they just have come in playing in their lineup, and I go, who? And they keep winning, and I don't know how they're still in.
I know. It's amazing.
It's Brad Stevens.
Brad Stevens has a system and a culture that he's been doing this for since he's entered the NBA that people are really starting to buy in and believe in. I think they can win a playoff series in the first round. I don't think they can win two, but I think it will be remarkable if they even get a chance to win one series in the first round.
Now, speaking of coaches, you're talking about Brad Stevens. What are your thoughts on Quinn Snyder and how he has completely just changed that Utah team? I mean, even Steve Kerr said that Utah Jazz has one of the best stories in the NBA.
Well, let's just give Quinn a lot of credit. He's been good. But I think when you get a kid like Donovan Mitchell, and I don't know if any person out there can see this coming, that this kid will just take over this Utah Jazz team. I mean, the one reason I love what Donovan's done, he played point guard when Rubio was out.
Right.
And he played it well. He never played point guard at Louisville. He was basically a small forward slasher. And then now you see him as a scorer. He will go down as a leading scorer of his team as a rookie. I don't think but 4 or 5 guys have done that as a rookie in the history of the game. He's been phenomenal. So I think Quinn is good, but I think Quinn better make sure he pat Donovan Mitchell. This kid is taking his salary up to another level.
All right, Steve, so tomorrow there's a game, the Nuggets and the T-Wolves, same record, winner gets the 8th seed against the Rockets. Who do you have winning that game, and does it actually matter? Do you see any of these teams giving the Rockets a run in the first round?
You know what, Josh? First of all, let's say this. if the Minnesota Timberwolves do not win this game, mm-hmm. you will hear a lot of rumblings of what's going on with Tom Thibodeau. Yes. Because mm-hmm. if you start to look at Jimmy Butler, I know he's been out a few weeks, but before this, he basically had him the whole season. Andrew Wiggins, Karl Anthony Towns, he gets a chance to bring over Taj Gibson, Jamal Crawford, Jeff Teague, and they don't even make the playoffs. I think there's a lot of rumblings. The Denver Nuggets, stacked team, people love them. They're young. I think, which is crazy, if they win, they move up. They don't even make it to eighth. I think they can go as high as six or seven.
Oh, so they,
they won't even be in the eighth.
Wow.
So I think when you start looking at who plays Houston, I think is obviously a whole bunch of scenarios. But Denver wins, I think they can go as low as seven. That's the lowest they can go. Mm-hmm. So Minnesota, it's a must-win for them, for their right. franchise. I think Denver, it won't be as devastating. They had Paul Millsap mm-hmm. out. They have a lot of young guys, no point guard. But I think for some reason, I'm just giving an edge to the Denver Nuggets because it seems like all the pressure right. will be on the Minnesota Timberwolves. The advantage they do have, though, Minnesota fans will come out. They should have home court advantage.
Yeah, and I think Jimmy being back is going to help them a lot, too, because without Jimmy Butler, they're just a completely different team. But he's back. He had a good game last game. I think he's pretty,
I will say the question I've had, Josh, is I'm not understanding what's going on with Wiggins. You know, not that he, you know, is supposed to be, you know, the leading scorer, but it doesn't look like he fits in at all under Tom Thibodeau's system. So that's the one player I'm really worried about with the Timberwolves.
Yeah, he's to me, he's just kind of one-dimensional. Like, he's just a scorer. He doesn't really do anything else besides that. Like, he doesn't really create for others. You know, he doesn't really hit crash the boards well. He's inconsistent defensively. I don't know if he fits in anywhere, to be honest with you. He's just a talented player, and I don't think he's learned to develop that IQ part of the game yet, to be honest with you. That's my take on Wiggins, at least.
Ooh, I hear you, John. He doesn't fit anywhere.
Talk about it.
Anywhere.
Yeah. Back to you, Bonnie.
I know, right?
Smitty, so before we wrap it up with NBA stuff, who's your prediction, though, for the NBA Finals?
You know, I have Cleveland Cavaliers right now, and obviously you would love to wait and see all these scenarios break down because there's a million of them. I think it's like 56 different scenarios who can end up in playing who and who. But I had on paper just the way LeBron has been playing. I mean, I'm still scratching my head. A guy in his 15th season, he's averaged the most rebounds, the most assists, and his fifth highest as far as points, 27.7. He played 81 game. It looks like he's going to play 82 and averaging 37 minutes. And they probably, the rotation of players, it looks like a club in L.A. They've had so many different teams and players and teammates come in and out, and they still have a chance to win. You got to give that just a nod and a handshake to LeBron James, what he's done to will this team to have a chance to get back to the finals. And then if Houston go to state and if Steph can play in the second round, I'm still giving the edge to the Warriors.
And then the Warriors win it all. There's no way the Cavs can beat the Warriors with this team. Come on, Smitty.
Boy. Oh, boy.
I'm going Golden State Cleveland. I ain't going to pick a winner yet.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Fair enough.
About you, Smitty, the game has changed so much, but you're one of the purest, clean, you know, three-point shooters around. What team do you think you would fit most with right now?
You know, the great question. You know, I started off as a point guard, you know, coming from Michigan State. Everybody wanted to be Magic. Mm-hmm. And that was the era of Grant Hill, Penny, myself playing point guard. At 6'8", I might be the second tallest player on the Golden State Warriors. Draymond's playing power forward at 6'6". I think as a pick and pop four, I would love to probably play with the Golden State Warriors. Because all I have to do is really shoot. That would suit me really well. I think I could average about 10 to 12 right now if I was playing with the Warriors, just standing there shooting.
I love that. That's Warriors. You're phenomenal.
And plus, Steve Kerr would be my coach. You know, you have your former teammate as your coach.
That's right.
I don't think he could really sub me without getting some kind of scared out. We have a pretty good relationship.
Well, thinking about playing, like, you know, you're so phenomenal on TV. You know, everyone just loves your knowledge. But do you ever think about Smitty being a coach?
You know, I have. You know, I would say the question I looked at after I retired and at the I went on out of all the greats, you know, whether GMs and former players and coaches I've had, and all of them said, Steve, if it works out this way, if you could wait till your kids are gone, because once you start coaching and getting kids,
it's
you know
your
this,
life.
Bonnie.
Oh, it's your life. You got to sleep there.
No matter what, you know, they say you spend time with your family, but even with your family, you got that team and everything racing through your mind. So I have a freshman in college, and I got a sophomore in high school. So I got two more years. And after that, I think my dream jobs would be a GM coach.
Wow.
But also, you know, y'all could put a word in for me. The Pepperdine job or the University of Hawaii job would be bad, would it?
Okay.
Let's drive to Malibu right after this.
I know.
Straight to Pepperdine.
We're in the right place for that. Well, hi, Steve. This is Becky here. I actually had a little NBA question for you. For the next season, looking ahead, who are some teams that underperformed this year that can step it up for next season? Like, what are some changes and specific teams you feel need to make changes to really step it up?
So you're saying all the teams that intentionally was tanking.
Basically. I wanted to put it in a nice way, but yes.
You know, I think, you know, because of my relationship with Irvin and the Los Angeles Lakers, this team was intriguing. And I just think with Irvin and what those guys are doing there as far as management, I love Luke Walton and Brian Shaw. I think you keep that team, and obviously you might have to move somebody to acquire one of these stars. They have, I think, cap room to acquire two max players. So if they can acquire two max players to go along with their young core, I think the Los Angeles Lakers is a team that you really want to look out for. And I think in the East, you know, I would say the Chicago Bulls is a team that I think next year will have a chance to make a big leap.
Wonderful. Well, I want to play a game with you if you're down for it. It's called This or That before you leave us today. Are you ready?
Starting to feel a little scary.
Yes! Well, we want to get to know you, and the fans who are listening in can get to know you a little better. So we're going to play a little rapid-fire game. Three, two, one.
Kobe or this or that?
Yes, that this or that. Kobe or Jordan?
So I'm just gonna say this or that. That's not an answer. I would say Jordan.
That's a tough one. Love it. Kanye or Jay-Z?
Jay-Z.
iOS or Android? So Apple or Android?
There you go. You're getting all technical on me.
We want to know what you're. Are you the blue bubble or the green bubble?
I would say that's blue bubble, right?
All right, there you go. Podcast or radio?
Pick up the phone and call somebody. No, let me see. I would say podcast.
Okay, no, so when you're in your car, you're a podcast guy. Love it. Tom Hanks or Tom Brady?
Oh, my God. Let me see. I can't say Tom Brady. He went to Michigan. So I'm going Tom Hanks.
All right, fair enough. Domestic pet? Or exotic animal?
Domestic pet. I'm a little scared of the
All right, fair enough. And then we want to do something called Tell Us Something We Don't Know. Who is the most famous person in your cell phone?
Bonnie.
That's the best answer.
Smitty's got everyone in his phone.
That's fabulous. How about the app you use the most? Each day.
The app I use the most.
That's a good question. I like that one.
Yeah, and I would say the NBA app.
I like that.
I use the most.
And the last one is, what is the last new thing you tried?
The last new thing I tried. Let me see. That's a tough one.
Yeah, like example, like what? Like,
well, like, what's something brand new that you've tried recently?
Oh, okay.
So, you know, like, I don't know.
Like a just, yoga class?
Yeah,
or,
like what's something new
you
that
know,
you've
I've
tried?
Been to yoga, so I've been doing yoga. Let me see. I don't know the last new thing I tried. I guess I'm so old school, I do my same.
No, that's fair enough. I like that. Well, thank you for playing.
I'll come back with that one.
Okay. we'll check back with you on that one.
So are you covering a game tonight, Smitty?
I'm not covering the game. I was on last night, so I'm off. And then I'm off until Thursday, and then we do all this prediction. Us experts get to tell you who's going to win these playoff matchups and who's not. And hopefully people listen. And obviously it's just our opinions, and we love it. And I think that's what people got to understand. It's all of our opinions, but obviously being former players and having some insight on what's going on, we try to narrow it down.
And when is that so we can tell everyone to watch that?
Thursday, we're coming on. We're doing the Eastern Conference and also the Western Conference. Wow. And I think it starts at 8 p.m. is the Eastern, and right after we'll jump right into the Western Conference.
Perfect. All right, Smitty, thank you so much. Love you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Thanks,
okay,
Steve.
Thank you. Word for Pepperdine.
Yes, even Hawaii.
We're going to Malibu right now.
We got it. We got it covered.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Bye-bye. He's great, huh?
Yeah, he's the man.
Yeah.
That was, I wanted to ask him more questions about Portland.
I was a big fan of Steve Smith growing up. I just picture the old Atlanta Hawk uniforms.
Oh, yeah.
And hidden.
Well, he played for Portland, too, so I wanted to dive into that. But
that is true. He did play for Portland.
I wanted to ask him what his favorite arena he's ever played in.
That's a good one, too. Yeah,
that is a good one.
That's a good one.
Run out of time, guys.
Next time. Next time.
No, he had a lot of good insight, though. You know, it's kind of what we've been talking about, though. It's like that, you know, Philly's going to be there, Utah. You know, I think there's going to be some upsets in the playoffs this year. I think it's not going to be what people think.
Sure. I agree.
I think not the Cavs and the Golden
State. And I know
State,
you like to bet, right?
So we might have to do a segment with some lines or something.
Don't you think it could be a good time to bet on some games this playoffs?
I think so.
Remember, we still need to owe a pie in the face right here for the NCAA loss.
We have to post it on Twitter. We have to post the poll on Twitter.
BJ and I won the Villanova battle.
You know what's so funny? You look at the Eagles, won the, you know, the NFL Super Bowl. Yes. Then you look at Villanova, and then
not this year.
So could you imagine?
Not this year.
Philly.
But just that there, I mean, it's crazy.
Philadelphia would explode if that happened.
Hold on.
It's nice to be a fan in Philly right now.
That's right. And Philly and Pittsburgh are playing round one, you guys. So Pennsylvania is going to be lit in hockey. Oh. So maybe the Flyers will win.
Right. We'll see. Before we, close it out, we still have a couple more things. I do want to talk about Conor McGregor.
Oh, yes, please. Let's talk about this.
Because, let me be honest with you, Josh, Becky. When you saw this, I was like, am I watching WWE? Like, what is going on? And I also was kind of confused, like, this like somewhat like planned, scripted, or was it, oh wait, I didn't know that this chair was going to crash through.
I'm totally with you.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I that it kind of went wrong a little bit. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you guys think, but I don't know. Look at this.
I think this is him thinking he can get away with anything, to be honest with you. You don't do this unless you
How did he run right to it?
I don't know.
Michael Chiesa's face was all bloodied.
Yeah, this guy's explaining right here. They got press passes, basically, I think. That's how they got to the guards. But look at this. This is...
Also, Rose Namajunas was on the bus, and he told me that the dolly came this close to breaking her hand. She's very shaken up. Very disturbed by this whole situation. Here's what we know.
I think the thing that's crazy about this is the fact that I'm hearing, you know, people are saying that it kind of is like his entourage, you know, like two entourages kind of like, I don't know, got, you know, and so he, you know, after you get off a plane from Ireland, wouldn't you kind of be more subdued? Why are you still like so raging crazy?
From Ireland.
That's what I'm trying
this.
To say.
That's
so,
insane.
But do you know how long that flight is?
Yeah,
all
seven
of
hours.
Us would eventually decompress. Am I right?
Right. Yeah.
Are you still that angry? That's why I wasn't sure if it was a little bit like
scripted or something.
I don't know.
Do you also think it warrants his title being stripped? Possibly and Dana 11 White, years in prison. Like, this seems a little
extreme. I listened to Dana White's interview, and he was, I mean, I was like, wait, what is going on here? He was actually so stressed out because he's had to change the fight card so many times, four times now. And then this happens. It's not a good look, I don't think, for the UFC. It's not a good look for, like, I don't know, for his reputation if he wanted to do something in WWE even. Like, he's kind of like... seems a little psycho.
And
we know that, you know, Irish, you know, they're a little hot-headed and so forth, but this was...
Yeah, but that's also a sense of, like, I'm invincible. Because
I think so, too.
You can't do that and expect nothing to happen to you.
And what is it that he got? He got
three charges of assault.
Yep.
I think another one of criminal mischief.
Yeah, right. $50,000 bail, and then possibly 11 years in prison.
And he has to come back to New York for a court hearing.
He cut some guy's head open. He almost hit another woman. It's unbelievable.
I mean, what if he, like, accidentally killed someone? You know what I mean? You never know. Like, it could have.
He absolutely could have.
And why doesn't he use that rage for the ring?
I don't know.
For the octagon, you know?
I don't know. I don't understand it. I don't understand, like you said, you don't decompress on a seven-hour flight.
Isn't it long? Is it 7 hours?
Yeah.
I thought it was a little longer. I don't
know. Maybe I read seven. Maybe, let's just say seven-plus-hour flight.
And then driving, I don't know. It just seems a little, I don't know. And, you know, you can tell that obviously his attorney said, be quiet, because he hasn't said nothing.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Sure.
You know.
He just posted a picture, I guess, with just the praying hands emoji, apparently.
Wait, he did?
Yeah, he did. He broke his silence posting this.
Yeah. I mean, so what happens now?
I mean, he has to go to court.
Pay the time. Pay the time.
He hasn't been suspended yet from UFC. I think Dana White's going to have to throw down a large suspension. I'm talking at
major
least
damage
a year.
Control.
But don't you think though? Now, is it more intriguing to see him fight, or is it? You know what I mean?
Well, like, they want
to
pair him up.
Is this a pay per view?
But you still have to
matchup.
You still have to protect your fighters because he threw something to a bus that hurt one of your fighters, cut one of your fighters head open. So you have to show your fighters, listen, I care about you guys too. It's not just about Conor. Mm-hmm. You have to suspend him now. if he's suspended for a year, there will be some type of suspense for his return. Mm-hmm. It's just going to take a year. Yeah. But you have to send a message
to him. What does that mean for a UFC fighter? A year off can be...
Yeah. I mean, who knows? He's probably not going to go to jail, let's be honest.
No, he's not going to. He's no way. He'll get out of it. He's got the money to get out of it. But I still think it was just a bad...
Yeah. And if there were antics or if it was scripted in any way, I mean, he just shot himself in the foot.
I guess my thing was still that I just can't believe how angry he was. You would have thought it just happened.
Yes.
That's why I was like, wow, he was on a plane for, you know, that's why I thought it was a little more
exaggerated. That's why I was confused as well. Right. I thought
something
was a
little
hokey.
And was it like a publicity kind of stint that went bad? Because he didn't know that maybe that was going to hurt anyone? I don't know.
And you know, you might be right. It might be a publicity stunt. Like, that's exactly what it probably was. Like, him trying to show off, like, look how angry I am. I'm the most dangerous man in the world. And then he just accidentally cut some guy's head open. Didn't know there was people on the bus.
It's not funny. I shouldn't be laughing, but it's just so
it's
crazy.
Ludicrous. No, it is. It's ridiculous. I don't know. I guess I just, at first, though, when I heard about it, I was like, wait a minute. Your title taken away, all these things. But now I get it. Like, it seems...
Right.
Yeah. Punishment fits the crime.
You know, we'll see what happens. I mean, that they still had a good fight that weekend, and Ronda Rousey, you know, fought.
That was WrestleMania.
For WWE, which was nice. Switching over, I thought that was kind of neat to see her go from UFC now to...
To wrestling. And then she, I don't know if we have wrestling fans out there, but she lifted Triple H and like...
Yeah.
I mean,
and that's what I thought maybe eventually Conor McGregor was going to do, but now I don't even think Vince McMahon would want anything to do with him.
Maybe I think Vince likes controversy.
Yeah, he does. But I don't know. This is a little more than you know.
This is a little serious.
Switched over. Yeah. I love Rousey in the WWE. Yeah.
Well, we kind of covered a lot. We have, you know, we'll be back again next Tuesday, same time, and you can catch us at what is it? At BJL
Weekly Pass.
Yeah, BJL Weekly Pass on Twitter. And my personal Twitter is at BJ Laughlin and at Bonnie Jill on Instagram and Facebook.
I'm Josh Rodriguez. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Josh_Rodriguez_.
That's right. I'm Becky Sotero. You can find me on all social media at Becky Sotero. Thank you for joining in the live chat. We saw you. We heard you. Good stuff.
And thank you to our amazing guest, Steve Smith. You can catch him on all his social media. He's always very insightful and catching him on TNT and NBA TV. That is it for the Bonnie Jill Laughlin Weekly Pass. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you to my amazing co-host. Until next time, we'll see you back here.
Bye.
See ya.
Peace.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.